Dude, is that, there's no way that was oil.
No,
right,
it's water.
Holy smoke.
No suits allowed.
No suits, no AC.
No suits, no AC. Do you like it here?
No. My home was being foreclosed on. I had nothing. I invested everything I had into that company.
From the last venture.
I screwed this up, man. So I started this company, Blue Collar Media Group. I didn't own a camera. I wanted to take a shot of myself. I'm going to go in and teach them how to create content with their cell phone because that's all that I had. I needed a business loan. It was a loan for $90,000. So he charged me $70,000 in interest on top of that $90,000 loan with weekly payments. And we paid back that loan.
Being resilient through that speaks a lot.
Entrepreneurship is a lot like hitting a pinata. You don't know how close you are to achieving what you want.
No suits, no AC, and Patrick Carr's just head boiled. Just spilling. It's the Florida weather here.
Oh,
do you like it here?
No. I don't like it. I think Orlando's the worst city. I'll tell you. No, awful airport.
But you know
how I feel. So the reason I based the business right here is two reasons. One, UCF Film School. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people realize UCF's the largest single campus in the United States, period. All right, 90,000 plus kids. It's double the size of the University
of
Florida.
Yeah, I knew that.
But then we've got Full Sail University here, which is the largest private university. Yeah. And then what's the other one we have? They're the First Institute here. They've got some great film schools that people want to get involved.
That makes sense.
And we do a lot of great positions here. We put the camera in the hand.
Yeah, that's cool.
We're already rolling.
I love it. Well, what's going on? Welcome to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed, and I'm here with Mr. Patrick Carr himself. We are having a great time down here in Orlando, Florida. I'm visiting Patrick and his team in the office here at the Blue Collar Media Group Hub, the headquarters. So, thanks for tuning in this week. Appreciate you taking a listen, and we're going to get into some real cool stuff today and talk about the unfiltered voices of entrepreneurs and leaders in their businesses and really get an understanding of Patrick Carr's story and Blue Collar Media Group story and kind of go through that. So, thanks for being here, brother.
Man,
thanks for joining
me
and allowing me to do this in your studio. So,
It's great. You know, we just kind of switched spots right here. Now we get a chance to do it this way.
Yeah.
Love
it. It's great. Well, I want to start off with just your story a little bit. And in this, I know we were already cutting it up before. I'm sure we'll probably end up using those clips.
Yeah, I hope you do, man.
We'll probably end up using those clips a little bit before. But we're here to get real and raw and have a good time doing it. So anything you feel like sharing, is nothing's off limits here. But I just want to get to know your story a little bit. I know that there's been certainly the up and down roller coaster both of our lives. But hearing your story is going to, I'm sure, inspire folks out there and let them know a little bit more about what the real life entrepreneurial life is. And again, the whole idea of the No Suits Allowed being, hey, pull off, pull back the veil, take off the suit. This is what real life is. It's not all just, fame and riches and living the great life, right? It's a grind, and it takes a lot of energy and time and focus and intention. There's a deeper purpose that, you have to function with if you're going to be able to keep your mind, relationships, and all of that intact along the way. So I want to hear a little bit about your story, and just first tell me who Patrick Carr is just as a human, and then we'll get into the Blue Collar Media Group story. But I want to hear about you first and just where you're from, what kind of led you to Orlando, which you love.
Terrible airport, not close to anything. Everyone's a tourist.
That's what you're laughing about beforehand. Lord. Hey, listen, I'm one of those tourists, so you got to be nice to me. Right,
everybody's got to be nice to the tourists. I got it. All right. They pay, make sure we don't have the income tax or whatever it is around here. So I started this company in April 2021, Blue Collar Media Group. For the first 2 years of the company, I was actually doing a podcast. I wanted to be the next, Joe Rogan. So I had the Patrick Carr Show, and that's what I wanted to do. And you couldn't find enough sponsors. I couldn't for that show. I also couldn't find enough interesting guests. When you're trying to work with contractors, a lot of them don't want to be on camera. And trying to find people that could come in and we could do interesting shows became very difficult. And so about 2 years ago, I was doing Blue Collar and creating content for contractors, but I started to kind of turn that a little bit. And I said, I'm not going to do the podcast. I'm going to focus on what makes me money. And it was Blue Collar Media Group. Now, when I started this whole thing, it's because I left a company that wasn't doing it the right way. Connor, you've heard of these people, the funding companies for, insurance claims. And I found out that this company didn't have the money to float funding these insurance claims. So they were robbing Peter to pay Paul, taking ACV checks from one and trying to float that to pay the RCV on the others.
Mm-hmm.
When I learned that, I quit. But in the process of quitting that company, there wasn't any income. They hadn't paid me for a number of things. I didn't have any idea what I was going to do. I just knew I wasn't going to be the fall guy. Yep. Called around to every contractor and told them what was going on. This is what I think's happening. I want to be up front with you. Two of them said, well, listen, you did a good job on social media with that company. Could you do it for us? I'm like, I don't know what that looks like. I didn't even own a camera. And the fact is that previous company had a videographer that worked with me. Well, I couldn't afford him. So here I am. I'm like, okay, sure. How much is it going to be? I don't know. Just made up a price. And this is about a day after I quit. I'm just calling around to people. And they're like, I guess I got to start a business. Let me go in LLC. How do you do this? Blue Collar Media Group's available, bluecollarmediagroup.com. Went to Wix, started a website in a day, and then went to YouTube to try to figure out how the heck I'm going to do this. Yep. I didn't own a camera, a lens, had no idea how it worked or editing, never had done any of it before in my life.
That's so interesting.
But I wanted to take a shot on myself, and I thought, okay, listen, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to teach them how to create content with their cell phone, because that's all that I had. I didn't own a camera. So I had to kind of piece this thing together into a course for their people that was about how do your team create content with what's in their hand. And so that got me my first contract, which paid me $4,000. And that bought my first lens, which still sits in there, my first camera.
That's cool.
And that's how the whole thing got started. Now, what a lot of people don't know is it also, my car broke down on the way there. And on the way up to Jacksonville to Eco Restore, I had no money. My home was being foreclosed on. And if John, if we can send some of the pictures of my home at that time, I came home the first week and there was a notice on my door from the bank that you have a week to get out. I was done. I had nothing. I invested everything I had into that company. I was in credit card debt of about $50,000 because that's all I could have.
And that was just all from the last venture. I mean, the company that was buying claims or whatever from that deal.
And so I always thought like I was bought in, you know, I was hook, line, and sinker, thought this is, hey, we're going to work it out. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're all in this together until we weren't. And that was ignorance. Don't get me wrong. But I'm $50,000 in debt. My home is being taken from me. I have no furniture. I had no washer dryer. And I've got pictures of this when I was there. It's just disgusting. And I was like, I got to try to make this work. Car breaks down then on the way to up 95. I had to call my client the first time to come pick me up in one of his trucks because I'm like, I can't get there. My car's broken down. I don't have the money to fix it or to call an Uber to get you. I was hoping to get out of that thing by 3 o'clock so that I could put the check in the bank and give me the $100 or so that I needed that I could go ahead and pay for the gas to get home. That's where it was 4 years ago, April 16th.
That's crazy.
April 16th or 20th. I started on the 16th. That's April 23rd, 2021. And that was just a brutal, like, oh, man, what am I getting myself
into? That had to been like your moment where you probably were like, man, is there even a God or anything that cares about my life? Like, how did you feel in that moment, I guess?
When I was sitting there, because you can't get, first of all, I found out you can't get a cab and you can't get an Uber to a rest stop on 95 when your car breaks down there because you don't have an address to send them to. So I have nothing. And it was like this moment where I put my hands like on the steering wheel and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I doing? Like, I don't even know how to shoot a video right now. I have no idea how to edit it. What am I going to tell these people? I just learned it on one page on YouTube 2 days ago. And I was like, my home's gone. My car doesn't work. What the heck is going to happen here? And that contractor was so nice. Josh is his name. And gave me the check at the end of the day. I think he was a little bit like, oh, God, this wasn't really worth it. What did I get myself? I didn't even show up with a camera. But he gave me that. I got some money. He gave me a truck to help me get home.
Wow.
And he was a good client for the first 6 months. And he just put up with me because I think he thought I was a nice guy. And he was like, hey, I'll throw him a couple thousand. And then right at that same time, David Bozzelli, who owned Job Progress, I had met him at the conference where I had learned that all this bad stuff was happening. He's like, how you doing, man? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. How you really doing? I'm like, not good. He goes, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take Job Progress right now, and you're going to go film some videos for First Class Roofing over in Lakeland here. Yeah. He goes, just go film a video about Job Progress. I said, I don't have any way to, I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, just go do it. He goes, how much do you need me to pay you? I'm like, I don't know, man, a couple $1,000. He goes, I'll pay you $5. and David does, he wires it right away, Zells it over to me or whatever. And I go out there and create this awful piece of content with First Class Roofing. I'm like, Dave, this is so bad. I'm handing it to you. He goes, yeah. He goes, okay, what's the next one we're going to do? And I'm like, what do you mean? I said, I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, you'll be better on the next one. Where do you want to go next? And David Bozzelli, he gives me a chance, and he believed. God, fuck. David knows the story. Yeah. He believed in me. And he believed in me when he shouldn't. And he left Job Progress. He had no need for me. He was leaving and selling to Leap. So he had no need for me. And he still did. And so I am eternally grateful to David Bozzelli for his belief in me. And I say eternally grateful, as in if he told me to, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
That's cool.
But if it wasn't for him giving me a chance to go out there and hone my skills with no expectation of what to do, I never would have had the opportunity to grow where we are now. I never would have had that chance. So,
that's an awesome story. Thank you for being vulnerable with that too. I feel like, and that was kind of like a breakthrough moment for you though. I mean, that wasn't maybe the feeling that it had then and it does now, obviously, right? Because it was like more of a, you were probably feeling more like that was just like a sympathy note.
It was,
you know, and maybe it was in that moment, but that was the pivotal moment that you just needed that one sliver of like opportunity. And then, like you said, it changed your whole trajectory and what you're doing now. And obviously there's been ups and downs through the process from then too, but that was, so that breakthrough. And when you got to that point where you were able to continue to work with him, which I'm actually curious before I get to that, why film? Like, why, what drove you to like the media side, like out of coming from what you were doing to like what brought you into this? Why the guy that didn't even have a camera that was like, this is what I want to do? I mean, just share that with me real quick.
So when I left that company, I had been doing ads on social media is what I had done. And I had a videographer that they hired. And so the ads looked halfway decent. And so when I called these other companies to tell them that, hey, listen, you need to be careful about what's going on. I'm not going to be the fall guy for this. They told me, they said, oh, well, Pat, you know, great. Thank you for telling us. Now that you're not with them, I saw what you did on social for those guys. Could you do it for us? Well, I didn't know about that. I was like, well, I guess you want me to be your spokesperson? No, teach us how to do it. Like, teach us what to film for you. And so that's why I just needed the money. And at that time, the way it ends up happening is, so David's able to help me. And then we did a cash for keys with the bank. So the bank gave me $600 to leave and not stay there and ruin their place. Literally, I'm out there signing over to the bank because I had no money. It's embarrassing. Or they throw your stuff out there on the, they have a sheriff show up if you don't do that and throw your stuff out onto the sidewalk. And I move into an even shittier place. I tell my team this. I went to this motel. If you go down I-4 right here, it's $1,000 a month is what they'll charge you. And it ain't a good place. And so for the first 3 months, that's where I was. And starting this thing. And so I go home to that, and that was where it was until I could finally just keep piecing it together. Somebody who'd give me a damn chance.
That's super cool, man.
Yeah. And that's then move awesome. Up from there.
Yeah. You kind of almost indirectly got taught the licensing model. Like, hey, I'm not just asking you to like, yeah, you're like, hey, I'm going to show you how to do it. Right. Yeah. And then like, that's the licensing model. And then now you're doing like a do it for you service, right? Where you're out there. That's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, dive in a little bit more into what you were, where you were at with that after that point. So, like, leading into, you know, you had that opportunity that you got, which obviously is a heartfelt feeling for you and something that you'll never take for granted.
Never.
Which, in a lot of cases and a lot of stories, there's like that one breakthrough moment or that one, like, man, someone took a shot on me when it made no sense, or I got this like luck of the draw type of deal, you know, after getting beat down over and over and over again, right? I think the moral of the story with all of this, as you hear these stories, is really the person that loses is the one that gives up.
Yeah.
Right? And we all have heard that probably before, but that's the mentality here, is like, or at least what I'm getting from the start of this conversation, is like, the guy that just like, you know, hey, I stuck with it. Maybe, like you said, that was like the wrong decision to stay with that company previously, but irrelevant. I'm saying like, you know, they kind of got you into that financial hole, but regardless, you felt convicted to stay there. Then you jumped, then you go do your own thing. Then you know, you're probably beating the pavement and probably running into obstacle after obstacle. And then you're like, all right, I'm not going to give up in this scenario. And the reward is received by those who are persistent. You know what I mean? So, so continue on that story real quick and tell me a little bit more about that. What happened thereafter and kind of what is now formulated into Blue Collar Media Group.
So the first couple of people that I start trying to get some business, because I had some podcast guests that I'd done for a while. So I start calling them up and I'm like, hey, could I do this for you? It's very embarrassing, but they were actually really receptive because they'd been on my show and they were willing to give me time. Some of them said yes, a very few amount. And then I started to go, okay, well, if I fly out to this place, I bought a camera, I went to YouTube and I started learning how to edit through YouTube. Okay, this is an SD card. This is what this does. And then I made dumb mistakes. Like, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So I'd go out there and John would I went out there with no ND filter. Like, in other words, you're shooting outside and you don't have an ND filter on. Like, it's white. I didn't know what the heck to do. But what I found is that the honesty when I went to people and I'm like, I screwed this up, man. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. And if you'll just work with me, I promise I'll make it right. And I had every intention of making it right. And I always did. Because some people were just like, hey, Pat, we see where you're at. Like, here, man, here's $2,500 to come up here and shoot a video that we're never going to use. But we like him as a person. And from there, we hired my first couple of people. I paid them through Zelle because I had no idea what QuickBooks was. This is not like a long time ago.
This is literally like three and a half years ago.
It's crazy, man. And so I hired them and I'm trying to work with them. They're 1099s. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm afraid that the government's going to crush me with taxes because I don't even know what that is, how to even pay them as a business. I just know I'm an LLC somewhere, like on some piece of paper. I mean, literally, this is where I'm at.
Yeah, man.
And so I'm going through this thing. I make a few hires, and then there's this one moment with a company called Top Tier Roofing in Georgia, and they don't even know this. A guy named Wayne and his partners. We made this video for him, and it was like the first video I watched, and I was like, damn, that's actually pretty good. And like now we look back on it, we would not use it right now. And we've heard this one, but because some of the stuff was out of focus or whatever, but it was a guy's video. And I sent it on to him. I'm like, this is good. And it was the first time from Blue Collar Media Group's Instagram, I posted something that we had done. And I was like, I'm proud of that. And that gave me a little bit of hope to move forward. And then we started hiring and I making some things and trying to make the business legitimate. And the first year, all I did was live on the road, back of the plane, cheapest flight that I could get out to somebody, come back, give it to people to edit that were here in-house or a 1099, and hope to God they did it right. And it was just a grassroots, get on the road and do it every single week until maybe I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But as John, I still go out there tomorrow. I'll be gone all week. I still get out there and do it. But I needed to become proficient in the craft before I could ever tell somebody else how to do it. I need to sit on those planes, be away from my family before I could do that.
And that's a good segue in here of like the perception versus reality and kind of the things that as leaders of businesses, you know, it always feels like, especially from your team, I'm sure there's a lot of folks that, for those watching, there's a lot of folks in businesses that you have folks that work for you that just think that everything's going great. The guy that's at the top's obviously making the most money or has the nicest things or has the best relationship, whatever. But like when you really pull it back, right, the perception versus what's reality is usually the complete opposite, or a lot of times is the complete opposite. And so, you know, tell me what that looks like now. And you know, obviously you've explained a lot of your history and what's kind of led you to here. But, you know, the routines and the perception versus reality that you have, and I guess those things that you, you know, day in, day out doing blue collar media, what does that look like? Because yeah, when you're leading at the front, and I think that that's important. What you said is like, it's super important that you lead from the front and feel that. You should always lead from the front, but like go through the trenches, you know, experience what the trenches is, because you can't expect someone to do something for you that you haven't done yourself. And so, but yeah, just talk about that perception versus reality for you, and or at least what has kind of led you to this point, I guess.
Well, I think the hardest part is that I tried and I've been trying for a while, and I'm just learning not to do this, to build an online personality that I thought was, I don't know, what people wanted to see. And John's really helped me with this behind the camera, where sometimes I'll get in this mode where I'm like, in Blue Collar Media Group, the number one video production company. And I like, it's like, okay, Pat, I don't feel that. And so John has been good about trying to teach me and to say, how do you really feel right now? What's the real feeling you have about this business? And I, for a long time, made the mistake of trying to be somebody different on camera.
Yeah.
And I still do. But I get reminded by my team now, they're like, that's kind of cheesy. That wasn't really you. And I think that that's a big lesson, is that I work a lot on camera, but sometimes you just have to really be authentic, which with your team and just how you're feeling. And I've really struggled with that because I'm going to paint this picture online that I've got it all figured out. We are the number one video production company for contractors. when sometimes I just sit there and I walk around this building and I'm like, man, what am I going to do right here? There have been multiple times where I've not paid myself, trying to make payroll. And you know, I tell people, I make less than anybody else in this team, period. End of story. I take no dividends. I take no end of year bonus or anything. I make less money than anybody here because I believe that everything should be reinvested in the people that make it happen. And do people like, what are you doing it for then? I'm doing it for them. And I really do, because their families depend on me. And I hope that my team sees that, when there's something really wrong, they can come to me and I'd be like, man, I got your back the best that I can. But no one sees that. They don't see, like, last week I'm here till midnight, three nights a week, trying to figure it out to get it right. Yep. And then we do. And then it feels good. But I think that a lot of individuals who are entrepreneurs, Connor, they look online and they think this is what entrepreneurship is. To me, I think it's going a little bit one more time, as I say, one more day further, one more call that somebody won't make, one more time, one more team meeting, one more trip. It's one more than your competition will do. And I keep on trying to do it that way.
Yeah, that's good, man. I love that. I know we've talked a little bit. I know we're a little bit of a restricted time here, yeah. But the big mistakes and just talking a little bit through your relationships and relationships, meaning outside of business relationships, like your personal life relationships and being able to balance that with business and, just share a little bit of your experience with, you know, maybe if those huge mistakes fall into that, if it's more business, that's fine too. But just kind of hitting on both of those, like what are your biggest mistakes that you made, and then how do you balance the relationship and business side of things?
My biggest takeaway is that I think as men, we sometimes take what we do at in the business to home, and our partners want to look at us as providers. And what I think I made the mistake of is believing that bitching and moaning to my significant other was the same as communicating, and it's not. And it diminishes, in my opinion, your value as a man. And I think that there are times in life where you have to, what I call, pick up the cross and carry it. And then, well, you have to pick up that weight and put it on your shoulders.
Sure.
And I think that was very difficult for me to understand. I wanted to talk about it and bring those problems, but my partner, who hopefully be engaged in, she was willing to see me through that. But at the same time, I realized I was giving too much information. I think as men, we need to learn as entrepreneurs, sometimes take that burden on yourself. You're capable. You're capable of doing far more than what you believe you're capable of doing. And if you'll just take that burden on yourself, when the time comes to talk to your significant other, you are going to feel like the man that you are. I hate when I see men that they're significant. They've just dumped all this negativity. Oh, what am I going to do about payroll? What am I going to do about this? Oh. But then they find a way to work through it. But their wife or
have been just drug along all along the way. Yeah.
And they just want they want their man because they want to feel like, hey, I'm back with my provider. And as I tell some people, you can't be daddy unless you act like daddy. You got to be a man sometimes.
Yep.
And for me, that's what I've been able to learn is, hey, Patrick, you've got some dark moments here, but those are for you to burden on yourself. You take those on. And then your family back at home, they get the opportunity to be the people that are benefit from the fruits of your labor. They don't have to sit there and burden that on their shoulders.
Yeah, that's good, man. I love that. I agree. I think that entrepreneurship is one that, and obviously we haven't been able to get into everything today, but again, on a short notice and just wanted to be respectful of your schedule, I know that there's a lot more to the Patrick Carr story, so maybe we can get you back on at some point. But you're up and down, because every entrepreneur has that, like, the roller coaster ride,
because
it always seems like it's just like this from everybody from the outside looking in. But obviously, you know, so just tell me a little bit about that, like some of the peaks and valleys and some of the things that you've learned along the way. You don't have to get into real specifics over like when those peaks and valleys were or anything, unless you want to, but really more so just like, what are some of the key things that you've learned from the peaks and valleys of going through the last, you know, let's call it 24 to 36 months since you've really got this thing kickstarted, and what have been the good learning lessons for you experience along the way?
Let's see here. It was in late 2023. I needed a business loan because I couldn't make payroll end of 2023. And I only had about four employees at that time. It wasn't much, but I couldn't, I didn't have enough income coming in. In the meantime, I'm trying to show people that I'm some kind of united, like I've got this whole thing. We're growing this business. I couldn't make payroll. And so what I did is I ended up taking out a loan. And it was a loan for $90,000. Well, you know what? I didn't realize how loans work. I had no idea. I'd never done it before. An unsecured loan, though, yeah, they're going to charge you a little interest.
Yeah.
And so he charged me $70,000 in interest on top of that $90,000 loan with weekly payments.
Yeah, hard money.
And by the way, interest is not something if you just pay it off early. It's actually just a penalty they throw on the top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to pay it all back.
Holy smokes.
And so I paid back $160,000 over the next year, also trying to grow a business. $1,850 every single week out of my business.
Wow.
And I took a gamble on myself, though. I took a gamble and said, you know what? I'm going to go all in. I'm going to leverage it all. Vehicle that I had, I don't care what it is. I'm going all in. And if I fail, then damn, I'm going to fall hard. Bankruptcy, everything. But I have to take a chance on myself or nobody else will. I had to believe that I will do it. And we've paid back that loan and we've done it the right way. I owe nobody any money. We have no debt here at all.
That's great.
I don't know an investor. I don't know somebody that comes in here. Yeah. I own 100% of this thing, every piece of a damn equipment that's in here. And I take a lot of pride in that.
And there is a lot of equipment, by
yeah.
the way.
That's just what's here.
So, yeah.
And I really say that to say to people, like, take a shot on you or nobody else will. If you don't believe that you got it, if you don't believe, man, I am going to find a way, then don't do entrepreneurship, in my opinion. Go out there because it's going to test you. And there's going to be an immense amount of pain that goes with it. And I feel that pain every day. I feel it when I'm not at home. I feel it when I want to go do things that are fun. There's pain a lot. And there's also a lot of pain, Connor. I think you can understand this. You've been in a lot of businesses. There's a lot of pain with just when you realize how dumb you are, like the dumb text. And you're just like, man, I want to be good at this. And you're not. You start and you're not good at it. And that's really hard. But that's been a lesson for me that when I loan and I was like, man, what am I going to do if I can't pay $1,850 back a week?
Yeah.
Well, there ain't going to be any business. Mm-hmm. So there's only going to be one option right here.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy. I took a shot on that.
Being resilient through that speaks a lot. That's something that I've heard that story a handful of times. And a lot of times it ends up the opposite direction, you know, and you have to hit the reset button.
Mm-hmm.
And people that don't, you know, again, to the point I made earlier, like those that persist are usually the ones that are going to, you know, collect the reward. I appreciate the transparency and being vulnerable with just like all the different pieces of this. I think it's the biggest takeaway for me is when you're going through your journey and a couple things. One, was not that long ago that the old, I don't know what car it was, but whatever car was broke down on the side of the road.
Yeah.
What car was it?
Altima.
And a little Altima. There you go. All reliable.
Yeah.
But broke down on the side of the road to having to, like you said, take the hard money, which was not that long ago either, to then being in a position where like everything's paid off, whatever. Like that's a story of resilience. That's a story of like real life, what it's like, especially when you're trying to build something from the ground up and you're not in a business that's like well established and has all these monetary resources and equipment and all this stuff, like you're building it from the ground up. And I think what's unfortunate is a lot of guys go into that, myself included, yourself included, probably went into that going, man, this is going to be a lot easier than what you think it's going to be. But the reason this podcast exists is to kind of give a little bit of insight into folks that are a little bit further down the road, giving insights from folks that are a little further down the road, such as yourself, of those that are maybe watching this and say, hey, like I have something to be relatable with. I have something that I can look at and go, hey, this is my story or maybe a version of my story. And I've gone through that journey. And so I appreciate you sharing that, man. I think that, really the last thing I want to ask you about, is more about like, you know, in this era and what you're building, I guess, you know, because I know you said like you're about to get engaged right soon.
Yeah,
at least that's the hope.
Yes, the hope, man.
Hopefully she says yes.
She'll see it. She watches this stuff.
That's good.
So she knows it's coming. So we're good.
Yeah. How are you? And I know you mentioned this a little bit, from which I appreciate you saying that about, you know, not burdening your spouse or burdening your significant other. That's a huge point. And I'm not perfect at that, or was not perfect at that, excuse me, in my journey. I feel like I'm a lot better at that now. Mm-hmm. But when I went through my own journey with my cash flow issues and keeping companies out of bankruptcy, all that, so even though, like, I know I was just on your show, but like all the things we talk about, success and working with people and learning the things, whatever, like I've had my own peaks and valleys for sure too, right? And I think that's a huge thing, is like not letting your personal life relationships be affected. Like there's points and there's times to be vulnerable, right? Yes. But then to not make it a like, oh, you know, this week's another payroll week and we got to cut back on this and can't, like, I've fallen into that trap before, right? Because you're just watching money just vanish and leave the doors. But no, I want to hear a little bit about your, I guess, your psychology of balance, or what that means to you, and how do you, as I know right now in the season that you've been describing, it's been like, you know, we're scaling up Blue Collar Media Group. We're really building something that's, you know, becoming represented in the marketplace as the number one, you know, contractor media group, if mm-hmm. you will, someone that's going to go out there and shoot content for you and help you get things ready for ads, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just what is the balance look like for you in every season? I understand balance is something that people talk about a lot, but just like the season that you're in could certainly be one that, like you said, you're grinding until midnight and whatever, but like still finding that like intentionality. And I just want to hear that from you. What does that look like?
So I was going through this rough time, and this was early 2020. That's probably 2020, early 2024. I took out that loan in late 2023. I'm trying to find a way to pay this thing back, and I'm going through it. The person that you're referring to, Samantha, I have a call with her, and I'm sitting in my office, and I remember it vividly. I'm against my wall, like sitting on the floor, and I'm like, I don't know. This is one of my like breakdown moments. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I don't know. And I want to say this quote because it changed everything for me, and I hope that maybe someone who watches this, it changes it for them. She said to me, she so organically, it's okay to fail, but it's not okay to give up. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs, Connor, they need to hear that.
Yeah.
It's okay to fail, but it's not okay to give up on yourself. And so I think that when you accept that, which I did in that moment, like, you know what? Okay, I might fail at this. I might. But I ain't going to give up. If I'm going down, I'm going to go down swinging on this thing till every single deal. I'm not going to leave anything unturned. I don't want to look back on this and say, you gave it 90%, Pat. You know, you could have made those 10 extra calls that night if you were really that desperate, but you just wanted to go home. I'm going to do it all. And that right there changed everything for me, that phrase. And if you just give yourself a little permission to say, all right, I might fail, but I'm going to give it everything. I think it gives them a beautiful insight, and that helped me out a lot. If nobody has heard that from somebody that loves them, I hope they hear it from me, that's one of the most beautiful ways that you can love yourself and the journey you're in. I tell my team this all the time. In fact, a little different, but I accept physical mistakes here. Physical mistakes to me are, okay, when we're editing a video, yeah, maybe you used the wrong transition or the wrong music. You made a mistake. Okay, cool. Whatever. What I don't accept here is effort mistakes, where you just didn't get in position to get the shot right. You didn't make the effort to go out of the car and to get that drone shot that you needed, that you knew was going to be good. And I think business owners, you can look at yourself and accept physical mistakes, but don't ever look back and say, you know what? I could have put in more effort. That's a regret that no man deserves to live with when it comes to business. And business is war. There are people trying to take food off the table for your family. And don't minimize that. And I think that roofing contractors and everything, look at it that way. There are media companies all around Orlando. They'll put me out of business, take my employees, and not even give a crap. And so when I come here, I look at that with a sense of urgency around here. And when it comes to my personal life, talking about balance, yeah, I balance that. But I also believe you have to have a sense of urgency that things need to get done now, quick, fast, in a hurry, or nobody's going to drive like you will.
Yeah.
And so that's my roundabout way of saying those two things, urgency, and it's okay to fail, but it's not okay to give up, that really have changed how I look at life.
Where do you get your inspiration when you're talking about all that stuff? Like, is it your significant other? Are there other things, or is it the people that you have that you're responsible to make payroll to? I mean, just all the things. What is your inspiration?
Pain. I think that I feel an immense amount of pain every day that I don't share, but it's I feel an immense amount of pain every day. And that pain, it comes from a lot of different places. It's pain of wasted potential. I have felt a burden of wasted potential on me for years. My father died in 2009, and I made a 15-year post since he died, and I thought, man, how disappointed he would be, and he truly would, not because he didn't love me, but because I wasted so much potential in the last 15 years. Drugs, alcohol, women, you name it. Wasted time, BS, chasing some BS, stuff that don't matter. And so I feel like for me, I wasted so much. And so this pain that I have that I live with motivates me. And I want to try to take away that pain from other people. When my employees start here and they're going to go off and do, every one of them will leave me at some point to go do something great. And I want them to. And hopefully I can help them with, John looks at me, and we talked about the story earlier, like how I handled a problem. I ain't going to handle it that way. My business. Good, man. Good. You learned something about what not to do. But there's an immense amount of pain that I think a lot of entrepreneurs, man, I hope they know that they're not alone. Sometimes you're going to feel that, and it's real, and it puts your heart down in your stomach. Because all you want to do, if you're good at what you do, is help people around you. It's all you want. You want them to live a good life. You want to deliver a good product. And you want to just get people to go, man, I'm here for you. And sometimes you can't get that message out. And you don't know what you don't know. And that's a pain that I live with often. I live with a lot of pain. Yep. I think that's where my motivation comes from.
I love that answer, man. That's good. I feel like, too, it's all, when you say balance, and really what I was getting at earlier is how do you keep it all prioritized, right? I guess because, priorities can slip, things happen, life happens, but you got to still and there are seasons. Like for me, in the business that I'm in now looks a lot different than the business that I had a year and a half ago. And it can change very quickly if you're willing to dedicate the time and energy towards it, but also maintain, as you're saying earlier, this level of respect for your significant other, for your family, for your kids, whatever. That is making the intentional time intentional, which I know we hear all the time, but like truly just doing something that makes them feel special while you're also chasing it, but then also running life through seasons, which is what I find to be something that has changed for my life relatively recently, because I feel like seasons, whenever they are no longer seasons, they just become a lifestyle, and then you're stuck in the, you're stuck in the hamster wheel, right? So it's good that you, explained that about people just being cognizant about what you bring home or who you're dragging along the way, right? Because they're, hopefully they're in your corner and cheering you on, right, as they should. But
I think one thing you have to do with your partner in those seasons is you have to communicate about that season that you're in. I'll go to Samantha sometimes, and I'll go, especially the last year, we've been really getting a stronger relationship, and I'll say, this next month is going to be hell for me.
Yeah, it's going
to
be hard.
I ain't going to be able to give you everything. I need you right now. I need that support from you. Because if you don't communicate about that, they don't know. Your partner doesn't know. Your family doesn't know. But when I do, I'm always surprised at the support, like, all right, go get it. I got you. And they want that in return too. Hey, listen, I'm in a point right now, and then you give them that. And I think that reciprocal back and forth is what makes things special, but you communicate it. Yeah. And then I don't feel bad when I'm here at midnight or I'm here at whatever, and I'm just trying to figure out this ad campaign, whatever, because I know I explained it. And I know that the person with me is going, okay, I got your back too. Yeah. So I just, if you're going through that moment, that season, and it's a tough one, talk to your partner about it. Yeah. Talk about where you're at.
And that also applies to some of the things we talked about in the last podcast when I was on yours, and we were talking about communicate with your team, right?
Yeah.
So communication, that's a common thread for sure. Well, I've enjoyed today. Tell me your final thoughts. What do you have to leave with the folks? And I know that you got into a lot of vulnerable things today, which I appreciate. And I hope that the cadence of this podcast keeps that level of vulnerability going, no matter who the guest is, because I think it's important for people to see behind the lens of something like Blue Collar Media, which is a successful business. And everybody has defining of what success is differently. But to me, like a rock star leader with a rock star team, the folks that are all chasing the same vision, and cash flow might be up and down, but the reality of the situation is, like, you continue, as you said, you keep putting it on black, you know, black being you, put it on black, and you keep doing it enough times. The beautiful part is it's not the casino, it's the business, and you are the casino, right? You're going to be winning ultimately, yes. Right? You're going to win if you just keep playing the game. And so, but yeah, leave us with the final thoughts and what you have to kind of just cap this thing off.
Well, you mentioned the game right there. So I'm going to tell you this. I think that business owners, entrepreneurship is a lot like hitting a pinata. Let me explain.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to hear more from this.
every one of us, okay, this is what it's like. You go to a kid's party and you get the pinata up over a tree. Then they blindfold the son of a gun. They spin him around and say, take a swing at the and they miss. Yeah. And they do it again. He misses. And then the first kid finally hits it, and no candy falls out. Then they do it with another kid. Spin him around. What's going on? Other kid hits it. Nothing. And then over and over, nothing comes out. And then finally what happens is one kid comes up there. They spin him around. Somebody takes him, guides him to where he is, takes a swing, hits it, and all the candy falls out. And I think that's a metaphor for what entrepreneurship is like. Yeah. You don't know how close you are to achieving what you want. And I look at this every single day when I'm here and I go, maybe tomorrow. All I got to do is make it to tomorrow. And maybe that's where my pinata just breaks open, that one connection that I needed, whatever it is. And you're taking swings at this thing all the time. And nothing's coming out for you, right? And you just feel like, man, I keep on going at it. And you're breaking it down. You're doing the work. And eventually for you, if you do that work and you keep
and
hitting
you're
that pinata.
On the right stuff. Yeah. The right
and
stuff,
you hit that pinata just, in the right spot. Yeah. That candy's going to fall out for you. Yeah. And I hope that your listeners out there, they're looking at that right now and going, man, I've been hitting this, man. Been hitting it for a year, damn it. Connor, Patrick, I've been hitting and nothing's happened for me. One more day. Yeah. That could be the day that it happens. Yeah. Keep hitting that son of a gun. And then let the rewards fall out for you. You deserve it.
That's good, man. Yeah. And you look at your story being, 3.5-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot changes in half of a decade, you know. And I know that this is a Tony Robbins take, and I'm going to probably butcher it, but it's like, I mean, I don't know if you
people
know
far underestimate what they can achieve in a day. Yeah. Far overestimate what they can achieve in a day and far underestimate what they can achieve in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same could be said for in 1 year versus 10 years, right?
100%.
So, and that's the whole point is, you know, don't underestimate what you can do in 10 and overestimate what you can do in 1, because the reality is if you keep playing the game, as you said, and keep hitting the pinata. I love that analogy. I'm glad that you explained that a little bit more, because you're like, business is like a pinata. And I'm like, okay, where are we going?
Oh, here you go.
So, but appreciate you, man. It's been an honor
Thank
to have you.
Very
Thank
much.
You for letting me, Absolutely. You know, come in, use the studio, and get to know them, get to meet the team and everything like that. So, best wishes to you, brother. You're already onto something great. I love it. I love all the stuff you're putting out there. I appreciate you being authentic today with us on the No Suits Allowed podcast. So appreciate
you,
brother.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for listening. Please make sure you're liking, subscribing, and sharing this content out. I want to make sure that this entrepreneurial story makes it to someone else that could use this type of encouragement and information. And check us out next week on the No Suits Allowed podcast. And thanks again, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I forgot to hit record.
Get the fuck out of here. All right, man. That was great. Thanks.